Today we are going to discuss the paper by Dr. Margie Davenport entitled Extreme Pregnancy, Maternal Physical Activity at Everest Base Camp. It reports on a case that provides the first description of pregnancy physiology during physical activity at altitude in a high-altitude Native woman. Participating in today's discussion will be the lead author of the paper, Dr. Margie Davenport, who is in the Program for Pregnancy and Postpartum Health at the University of Alberta in Edmonton, and an expert in the field, Dr. Lorna G. Moore, from the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Colorado and Schutz Medical Campus. My name is Judy Neubauer from Rutgers University in New Jersey, and I will be moderating today's discussion. I would like to start with you, Margie, to briefly describe the questions and hypotheses being addressed, the methods employed, and then summarize the main findings and their significance.
We report on a case study of a woman who was a high-altitude resident of Sherpa ethnicity and 31 weeks pregnant at the time. She trekked from 3,400 to 5,300 meters, where she wore an accelerometer to measure physical activity and sleep patterns, as well as daily measures of cardiovascular and respiratory variables. This woman engaged in 250 to 300 minutes of exercise each day while ascending 1,800 meters in elevation over an eight-day period. Although she was doubling the recommended weekly activity levels on a daily basis, there were no apparent maternal, fetal, or infant complications. We're quite lucky to have captured what we believe is the first description of physical activity during pregnancy in a high-altitude Native.
Thank you, Margie. Lorna, would you comment on this study, particularly on what you feel its contribution and significance is for understanding how this rare description of activity during pregnancy at altitude in a Tibetan woman provides insights for pregnancy outcomes?
The study underscores not only the need for more information about the effects of exercising during pregnancy, it also draws attention that learning what those effects are is informative for understanding how populations have adapted to high altitude and might also be instructive for giving insight into what could provide new therapies for treating these major complications of pregnancy, fetal growth restriction, and possibly preeclampsia that are significant sources of both infant and maternal mortality. Can you speculate whether the observations made in this Native high-altitude woman might be generalizable to other women at high altitude?
So we know that this woman was participating in high-altitude races and endurance events before pregnancy, and she was working as a trekking guide during pregnancy. So I think for this particular woman, this level of physical activity is quite typical for her, and she'd be quite well adapted to it. The real question is whether or not this level of physical activity is typical of other women living at altitude. And certainly there are many women that become pregnant in the region and anecdotally engage in tasks of daily living that would require being active throughout the day. In addition, as you well know, the predominant form of travel in the region is on foot. So moving between towns and villages for family, work, or health checkups would also contribute to a significant amount of physical activity. I don't think that most pregnant women in the region are this active or traveling the distances we observed in this case study, but I would speculate that they are more active than the typical North American pregnant woman. Certainly it's speculative, but if it is true, it would suggest that higher levels of activity may not be harmful in these women because they're already adapted to both altitude and potentially higher levels of physical activity to begin with.
There are considerable numbers of studies of the beneficial effects of exercise in pregnant women at sea level. Typically, the recommendation is that women not begin an exercise regimen when they become pregnant, but they should continue the one that they've previously been engaged in. I wonder if you might have any thoughts or whether this young lady whom you studied had any thoughts about whether they themselves thought that exercise could help reduce the risk of pregnancy complications in high-altitude Natives?
You know, it's really only recently that we've started to determine that exercise in lowlanders at low elevations reduces the risk of developing gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, and gestational hypertension. And upcoming Canadian guidelines are actually going to suggest that women can exercise throughout their pregnancy, even if they were not active before. But in terms of translating these guidelines for lowlander populations up to high-altitude Natives, we're really not at that point to be able to suggest that adding exercise, if you're already fairly highly active to begin with before pregnancy, whether or not you're going to see the same reduction in pregnancy complications or not.
she was remarkable insofar as her pregnancy outcome, the baby's weight, I believe 3,200 grams, is the highest reported birth weights in Tibetan women. The value is considerably lower than that. I think it was around 2,900 grams. Remember, the baby was somewhat larger relative to the other Tibetan babies born at similar altitudes. But both Tibetan and Andean residents of high altitude do have more normal-sized babies than do newcomers living at the same altitude, and as best we can tell, with comparable exercise levels, although that's hard to document. Can you speculate on whether you think this protection also extends to the other major high-altitude population, namely those persons living in the East African highlands of Ethiopia?
It's a really fascinating question, and certainly the evidence isn't really concrete, but as rates of preeclampsia are increased at altitude compared to lower elevations, but your work has suggested that populations such as Andeans or Tibetans who have lived at altitude for generations may have lower rates of preeclampsia than relative newcomers to altitude, such as populations from the United States. Regarding Ethiopian Highlanders, it's a highly understudied population. There was a recent meta-analysis which demonstrated a fairly broad range in the prevalence of preeclampsia depending on the region, but it didn't specifically speak to altitude of residence of the mothers. But as you pointed out previously, one of the issues with preeclampsia is actually diagnosis. And so in some of these regions with less screening for proteinuria, preeclampsia and gestational hypertension are often lumped in together. And so trying to tease out the specific influence of altitude or even exercise on rates of preeclampsia can be muddied or made more difficult from a diagnosis perspective.
I absolutely agree with you. But really, as you commented, distinguishing truly preeclampsia, a systemic disease, from simply pregnancy-induced hypertension is difficult in the absence of adequate screening. And the only report I'm aware of is from Tibet, and it's lumped, as you said, all hypertensive complications together. But they did report a lower frequency in Tibetans compared with Han Chinese. We've actually not documented that in the Andes. I don't believe anybody else has either. Again, mostly because the data are so murky as to how the condition is being diagnosed. We're actually doing a study in Bolivia right now where we're not only trying to look at preeclampsia itself, but also trying to help the delivery of clinical care with recommending some new technologies that might aid in generating those diagnostic criteria. Much of their absence is simply due to the fact that there's not the technology available for making an adequate diagnosis. There are a few medical treatments for pregnancy disorders. Can you speculate on how understanding how this Tibetan women and the other long-term high-altitude residents possibly have adapted so as to be able to sustain normal pregnancy outcomes under the conditions of limited oxygen availability could offer new therapies for treating or perhaps even preventing pregnancy complications, even those for persons residing at low altitude?
Pregnant women are highly understudied and excluded from a lot of health research. As a result, our understanding of the physiological adaptations during pregnancy are really developing, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Work by yourself and others have suggested that high-altitude natives adapt in many ways, including potentially an upregulation of uteroplacental blood flows and oxygen delivery to ensure adequate supply of oxygen and nutrients to the fetus. In terms of exercise, which is my specialty, we know that especially in early pregnancy, women who exercise have an increase in placental efficiency. However, the overlap between the three extreme physiological adaptations we're talking about in this particular case, pregnancy, altitude, and exercise, really hasn't been investigated. I think that further study of the mechanisms which may confer benefits from exercise and or altitude will allow us to try and determine better which mechanisms actually overlap. And these potential mechanisms will be what we would want to examine as a potential therapeutic target or potentially as a preventative target in the future. I don't believe that we're there yet, but I think that future study of populations of pregnant women at altitude will be really important to helping us better understand how we can prevent or treat complications such as preeclampsia in women at altitude, but also potentially lowlanders as well.
Here in Denver, we are at about a mile high, 1,600 meters, which is comparatively low. But women who reside here frequently go to the mountains, up to elevations as high as 3,500 meters or nearly 12,000 feet at the summits of the various ski areas. And they go there for hiking or skiing or just watching the aspens turn gold. We've often thought it would be a very useful thing to study a group of such women. The difficulty is in setting up the logistics of such a study because you would want to recruit a representative sample. The women who go to altitude perhaps are not necessarily a typical population. They are more mobile by definition and perhaps more inclined to exercise if they're going there for purposes of exercise. We'd love to know of obstetric providers who would be willing to assist in the conduct of such a study, but to date we haven't really probably made as concerted an effort to do that as we could have, but we haven't really found the means of doing so. But we are doing a study currently of Colorado residents of high altitude, persons living at about 3,000 meters, to see if the protective factors that we've been able to identify in Andeans also are serving to be protective in these populations. There are a number of metabolic reasons for thinking they might be, and if so, stimulating such factors via drugs or nutritional regimens might provide new treatments. So it's a question that I think is researchable and could potentially be of benefit for women with pregnancy complications, at least in theory, at any altitude.
Thank you. This has been a very interesting discussion of how the physical activity at altitude impact pregnancy in an altitude native woman and potential for new insights and guidelines for exercise during pregnancy. With that, I would like to thank both of the participants, Marky Davenport and Lorna Moore, for an excellent discussion of this paper.